on and off to have Brother and Sister Tomiev with us. And we haven't yet got to hear from her, and I know she's on baby duty right now. But maybe someone could relieve her, and she could make her way to the front next to her husband here. We love these folks. They are precious people of God. And he told us a couple of weeks ago of all the travels that they had done and their participation in ministry across a couple of different countries. And now, that may sound great and glamorous, but for anybody who travels a lot, you understand how hard it is to travel. It's very taxing. It's very difficult when you're sleeping in other people's houses and hotels and bedrooms and all these things. It's just living out of a suitcase. None of that's fun. It's all difficult things. And my heart goes out to individuals who put themselves in that place for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we hear the stories of individuals like these two who basically say, we'll be nomads. We'll live without house and home, and we'll go from city to city, from village to village, wherever we got to go, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and allowing the Lord to lead us to who he would lead us to. And this isn't the end. They're going home on the 31st, right? The 31st. They're going back home, and they're going to continue that type of ministry. And so, what's that? Their home is there. Amen. I'm going to ask both of them to come and just leave a word of testimony with us, and then we're going to pray for them before they leave today, or before they leave on Wednesday, but we'll pray for them today. I'll let him come first, and then he can turn it to his wife when he's ready.
Greeting in the great, great name, our Lord Jesus Christ. I give honor to him that he allowed all of us to bear body of his. I also give honor to Pastor, Brother, Sister Johnson, that they allowed us to be here, and they allowed us to feel like home. Thank you very much. Before I will testimony something, I would like to ask my wife to say what God put in your heart for us.
Okay. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I'm so good to see you. And I also give honor to the pastor and Sister Johnston for this privilege to stay in this platform and say that God put in my heart. Yesterday when we were praying with my husband, okay, today I will use my translator because in my brain, Bulgarian, Ukrainian, English. So, yeah. Вчера, когда мы молились,
yesterday when we were praying,
Господь напомнил мне те обетования, которые Он давал мне раньше.
God reminded me of the blessings that He gave to us before.
Иногда в нашей жизни мы проходим какое-то трудное время.
Sometimes in our life we go through a struggle.
Иногда мы на горе, иногда мы в долине.
Sometimes we're up on a mountain, sometimes we're in the valley.
И я слышала эту историю, что если будешь ехать на поезде с Chicago to Seattle,
and I heard that when you ride the train from Chicago to Seattle,
там есть промежуток 18 майлов, ты едешь в туннеле.
There's a stretch there of 18 miles where it's just a tunnel.
И иногда в нашей там нету электричества,
so
там
no
темно.
Light, nothing, it's just a dark tunnel.
И иногда в нашей жизни мы проходим это время.
Sometimes we've spent those 18 miles in a dark
когда
tunnel.
Кажется, что темно все вокруг.
When everything seems like it's dark around.
Но в конце туннеля есть свет.
But there's light at the end of the tunnel.
И этот свет, он Иисус.
And that light is Jesus.
Поэтому я благодарна Богу за все случаи в нашей жизни, которые Он нас проводит через эти туннели.
That's why I'm thankful to God that for all those times that He brought us through those tunnels.
Потому что однажды мы сделали выбор.
Because a long time ago we made a decision.
Мы поем этот псалом. Я сделал выбор.
We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus.
И я помню тот момент, когда Господь призвал нас в Киев.
I remember when God called us to Kiev.
Трое наших детей, они просто умирали. Это была Ира, Ина и Таня.
Three of our kids were dying in front of us. That was Ina, Tanya, and Irina.
Но Господь в то время проговорил к нам: «Сея с вами во все дни и до скончания века». Это Матфея, по-моему.
And the Lord spoke to me. I'm not sure exactly what the translation is in English. It's in Matthew. It's till the end of the days I am with you.
Второй момент был в нашей жизни, когда тоже это было в Киеве.
The second time was in Kiev already.
Было очень сложное время в нашей жизни.
It was a hard time in our life.
И как бы все говорило: в Измаиле у вас есть дом.
Everything was saying, you go back to Ismail, you have a house there.
Но Господь, я помню то утро, когда я проснулась, когда голос Божий сказал мне: не оставляйте упование вашего, которому предстоит великое воздаяние.
When God woke me up one morning and said,
не оставляйте упование вашего, которому предстоит великое воздаяние.
Don't leave your faith that
не оставляйте упование вашего.
Don't leave your faith,
которым через которое предстоит великое воздаяние.
Through which you will have great success in him. He will.
Can you find this?
It's a Bible verse. Yes. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Let's have him pull it up.
No. Вас открыть вам место под писание. Окей.
Means no. Just keep follow God through your hard time and God.
There you go.
No, it's a scripture from I can't remember, but I know in my Bible.
Basically, stand strong.
И третий момент был в нашей жизни.
The third time in our life.
В Сакраменто, когда мы начинали церковь.
When we were starting a church in Sacramento, California.
И знаете, иногда сразу был первые дни был полный зал.
You know, the first не было парковки на место.
А через некоторое время несколько человек в зале.
We had a few people in our church.
И через это время Господь нас проводит. Будем ли мы стоять твердо, или мы скажем: Бог, это был ты или нет?
And through that time, God was kind of testing us to see if we'll be strong in the packed out house or just a couple people. We'll stand on his word.
И я помню, у нас была по вторникам молитва.
Yeah, Tuesday night prayer.
И мы пришли, и мы были только с братом Василием.
And we came to church and it was just me and brother Vasily.
Но я сказала: Господь, я буду молиться.
And we said, well, we came to prayer.
И я помню тот момент, как я пошла сзади и склонила свои колени.
I went to the back of the church and I just bowed my knees.
И Бог мне напомнил место пророка Амоса. Амос говорит, да.
God reminded me of a prophet.
Amos.
I'm not sure what it is in English. Amos.
Amos. Yeah. И если не станет овец в загоне.
Even if there won't be sheep in the, there won't be sheep.
И если смоковница не даст плод.
Even if there won't be fruits.
И если не будет даже еды для овец в стойле.
Even if there won't be any food for the sheep.
Я все равно буду славить
Тебя. I'm still going to praise His name.
Наш Бог, Он достоин всей славы.
Our God is worthy of all the praise.
И еще один момент. Вы знаете, я услышала недавно, когда студенты, иногда мы как студенты сдаем этот экзамен.
Sometimes we're like students and we have to take an exam.
Но в это время учитель молчит.
But in that time the teacher is silent when you're taking your exam.
Поэтому, когда Бог нас проводит, я хочу, чтобы пусть вера твоя, она будет укрепляться через Слово Божие.
I hope your faith will get stronger through the Word of
God. Пусть Слово Божие станет для тебя авторитетом.
Let that word be the authority to you.
Если ты будешь вникать,
if you
Бог будет
go
вести тебя,
word, God
и Он даст тебе ответ, и Он проведет тебя через эту туннель. Он будет стоять рядом, и Он будет тебя держать за руку.
He'll stand right by you and hold your hand.
Поэтому пусть Бог благословит вас.
God bless you.
Love you.
Love you. I'm sorry, I'm not good at translating.
I will practice my English. Thank you very much for your patience, for your understanding. I just need help to read the scripture. John chapter 3, 16, 17, and 18. Would you please to show And somebody read for me in English.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world for condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
And 36, please. The same chapter, yeah.
He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but should wrath of God abideth on him.
We know the scripture, and the scriptures, God show his love for whole people in the world. And he choose disciples. And then he built his church. And he told not only for 12, he told the church that you will be my witnesses. And the God wants that everybody know his love. Because from his love, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of patience. Because he loved the people. He created people. We are his obras, imagine.
We're made in his image.
Yes. And he created all for what in the world, what in the ground and the water for us. But because a sin came in us, we lost that fellowship with God. God loved us, and he always loved people. When Cain killed his brother, God put signs to Cain that nobody to kill Cain. This means how God loved people. And if we follow all Old Testament, we will see loves God. And also, God came in the flesh and he speak through us, through Jesus. And Jesus told, you are my light. You are my witnesses. Let this world see me in you. Because God was in the flesh in Jesus. Jesus also in the flesh means us. This is not the hard gospel. It's not too hard to witness. This is just for me easy because he touched my life. He changed my life. He filled me in his life and his spirit. I have this mercy, this forgiveness. I received this miracles. I received this promise. And that he will come again and take me. And I will be heaven. Because the 36th, the scripture says, if somebody do not believe, do accept Jesus, he will be judged. But God do not want to judge people. He created church. He choose us. You was chosen. You, it's correct. You are not the better than another people. We are the same. But God knows everything. If we are chosen, means God wants to us to be show His light, His mercy, His patience, His forgiveness, His love. They see Jesus in us because we believe that we are in temporary for this world. And what we have, this is not yours, not ours. What we have, this is from Jesus. Our life, our body, our family, what we love, our house, our money, what we have. If we give this all to His hand and to say, God, I am yours. And He will know that if He needs something, He knows that person that said, God, if you need something, if you want something, I'm yours. And what I have, this is yours. Because He said the first, I am yours. What I have, this is for you. And He waited that somebody also accept this and say, God, I am yours. What I have, this is yours. We do not tell people so hard something like doctrine Jesus. We say that Jesus was in this world. He loves you. He loves you. And He can bless your life. Not only temporary. Yes, He is killer. He will bring peace. He will change your situation. But He is not only temporary. But He gave promise that you do not go to hell. Because our life is temporary. After that, no repentance, no promise. When we show that love, that light, that patience, that forgiveness, that mercy to other people and to pray for them with love, doesn't matter what their meaning for us, what they do for us, but sometimes they are angry, sometimes they maybe hit you or something, but this is doesn't matter. This is honor. If somebody tells some to us or to hit, to beat us, because we are Christians, this is honor. We have to rejoice. We need to love that people because Jesus loved us and He died not for us Christians. He died for us that we didn't believe Him. We hurt Him. Our sin was on the cross. And now we have forgiveness. And also we need to love these people, to sacrifice for that people, to give our life for that people because He gave us His life to us. This is a Christian. This is a church. Maybe people do not know a lot for doctrine. But when they understand what does mean love. The people, they did not understand who is Jesus. He is prophet, He is son of Mary from Nazareth. They talk a lot about Him. But what they know, if they have needs, they go to Him. Because their problem, He solved. And He didn't expect them. He never said them, go change your life. And you must understand who am I and come to me. Sometimes we do this like, I'm a pastor. And I'm Christians. But He never did this. They didn't understand who was Jesus, but He understood them, who they are. We have the same spirit, the spirit of Christ. Sometimes we need to repent. Sometimes we need to understand. If we pass something hard through, we keep in our heart something for that people. Of course, we feel when people, they do not do right for us or hurt our heart, that Jesus filled us because he has a body. But we need to understand, doesn't matter what we feel, we need to give in his hand and say, God, I give all situation to you, and I ask, bless these people, let them your rights, your way, your life. Because we do not know that people, why they did or do this, as different situation. But sometimes we have another side, that Satan tried to use some brothers, some sisters, some pastors, some elders to do or to say to you that you didn't expect from pastor, for elders, for bishop, for brother, for sister. And this is like make hurt you, your hearts. And Satan tried to use this. And then we look at our brothers differently. But doesn't matter. Your brother, your pastor, your enemy, our heart must be the same. Must be the same. Of course, we feel this. Of course, this touch our heart. Of course, sometimes we do not sleep. Of course, we sometimes think, why this happened? Is this not a right? This is not a good. But when you go to in prayer him in your room, and when you give all to him, and when you remind you and one more that he has control, he allowed to happen something from enemy or for church, for brother, for pastor, for anything, he has a control. He tried to give me lessons how to love and how to follow, and do not change my heart through people. Doesn't matter they are sinner or their brother and sister. I didn't have plan to tell this, but this is my life. I would love to take with me everywhere. Because God do not change any culture, any world. And he told, you are my witnesses. God know every heart. If God choose you to do something, you have choice to follow or not. Once, when I was young, I made some mistakes because I was young. But what I knew, that I loved God. I loved God that, and I didn't know a lot of, but I had dream to follow him. I had dream, I asked him to fill me the Holy Ghost. I was a boy in school. I grew up in that Soviet Union. We were poor, not because we were lazy, because the system, the communists, they took from Christians what they have. But that small room, 4 and 4 meters, that are living room, dining room, kitchen, and our bed for our boys at the same place. But it was peace there. But it was Holy Ghost there. It was faith that we didn't say to our parents, other kids, they eat, they have clothes, they have other things. we didn't say. Because I saw my grandparents, I saw my parents, that light, shine light in was their face. I saw that people kneeling hourly, they pray in tongues and praise God. When I was a small boy, like 5 and 6 years old, I had a dream. God, I want to have this. And God, remember, once he chose us and we follow to him. Yes, we don't have money for our bank account. We don't have enough for retirement. We don't have life insurance or other our stuff for three, for states, for some Portugal, for Ukraine. And we don't have home everywhere to go home. A pastor told about this. But Jesus told, you will have more brothers. You will have more homes. And I will provide you. I testified that I love Jesus. I love to follow him. I love to sacrifice. Also, he knows that I'm human sometimes. A lot of times I was hurt from different people and also from brothers. He knows that sometimes I feel this, but he knows that I have forgiveness for all. I try to remember to ask forgiveness. This is our life. This is love of God. I am so appreciate for your prayer, Pastor, that you allowed me to be here to witness about my Lord. I would like to recommend to you, everyone, just look around your neighbors. Look around people. Just ask God, let me see for these people like you see. God, let me feel, how do you feel for these people? God, what you want me to do? Of course, we are not a healer. We do not want to, God, if you give me a power, I went to this power and I say in Jesus' name, raise up, and everybody follow. No. The first, love God. The first, love people. The first, just tell them what God did in your life. Just have mercy for them. And say, I'm not a God to help you, but I know God who helped me. If you like, I will be your like your brother and your sister, if some, and I will pray that God help you. Yeah, I will go through your life, your hard time. They do not understand why you are doing this, but you understand because God walk, he is walking with you in your hard life. Why he do this? Because he love you. Why we do for them? Because we love them. And then they will follow. Because our service, not only for us, our service to bring that people and to pray for them that they God will heal them, restore them, give them repentance, give them new birth and the eternal life. And they will be also witnesses. In the end, I would like to say that I'm so appreciate again, Pastor and Sister, and I appreciate for Bishop, Brother and Sister Sconover, because God opened door through them, and we became like family. I remember in our field that I have brothers and sisters. Your prayer, your support, I received this like blessing not from you, but through you to God. I received this from Jesus. He asked us, here, God, bless him. He has promised. Also, we need your prayers. May I pray? Let's pray a little bit. God, I give you honor and thank you that I have these brothers and sisters at this life church. I ask you, let your spirit that full in your life, your power, your patience, your forgiveness, your witnesses, let the spirit Christ move them, fill them, that you want to show for Puyallup your light, your love, your forgiveness, your blessing through this precious church, precious brother and sister. I love them. I ask, bless them for their spirit, their body, their life, their finances, their family, all what they do. I ask you, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
All of us at some point have applied for a job, looked for a job. Somewhere in the description, the job description, maybe that's posted online or we receive in an email, are the words, a detail-oriented person. Right? Anybody ever seen that? We're looking for a detail-oriented person. They're not looking for people like me. I'm the kind of guy that you can say, hey, meet me at the park at 3 o'clock. We're going to mess around for a while. We're going to play some ball or something. Okay, I'll be there. I'm that guy. I have friends, on the other hand. Hey, meet me at the park at 3. We're going to play some ball. What are we going to do? Who's going to be there? How long are we going to play for? Don't need to bring a ball? No? You going to have water there? What park are we playing at? How's the grass? How's the field? They want all the details. It's not important. Just show up. We're going to have a good time. That's not a detail-oriented person. There are people that I know that are very detail-oriented. They pay attention to the details. They can tell you the intricacies of things. There's a guy in my office, if you really want to get into a really heated and colorful discussion, just start talking about sports statistics and then question him on those sports statistics. Right down to the batting averages of players in the 80s. He's a book. He loves details. He loves the details of plays and things that went wrong and championship games, and he can recall them as if he were watching a TV and a replay screen right in front of him. He understands details, and he gets details, and his job in our company is the guy who sits at his desk all day and looks at a screen, and he looks at the cut sheet of a fixture on that screen, and he puts letters to part numbers and numbers to those same part numbers and descriptions, and he takes a light fixture like this, and he says it's a P2136 HID 202 UNV 120V. That's what he does all day long. And if he gets one letter off, if he puts a W instead of a V, that fixture ships incorrectly, and it costs our company thousands of dollars. But he has attention to detail. I look at those same cut sheets and my eyes cross, and all I see is blah, 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 blah. But thank God for Martin Walsh, because he's detail-oriented. He sees things in a different light than I see them. He cares about the details. If you've ever planned an event with Brother Kendrick understands the details. He pays attention to the details of things. He comes to you with questions. Well, what are you going to do about this? I hadn't thought about that. How do you plan to handle this? Well, I guess we weren't. are you going to get this there? Well, I thought it would just drop out of the sky. Amazon drone, maybe, something like that. How you plan to set this up? Well, it was going to be me and you, and, well, I guess we better get a crew together. It's in the details, right? It's all in the details. Can I tell you something this morning? God cares about the details. There is not a single detail of your life that goes unnoticed or unknown by Him. There's not a single detail, not a single detail of what is awaiting you in Kiev and what has transpired in your life and the things that you've described. There's not a single detail about that that God isn't aware of. You see, we struggle with that in our humanity. Because all we see are details, and oftentimes they're very complicated, and they're things that we can't even in our humanity begin to understand or fix or wrap our head around. But yet we serve a God who does not have an infinite mind. He's finite. Or he's not, he doesn't have a finite mind, he's infinite. There is no limit to what he can understand. There's no limit to what he can see. There's no limit to what he can put together. And so while in my humanity, I have a very finite space that I can operate in. Cut sheets of parts confuse me. Yet he created the world and the galaxies and all the incredible things that exist today. A couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to ask my wife to come to the keyboard. A couple of weeks ago, I thought, man, I'm going to get real smart. I'm going to educate myself on some things. I'm going to buckle down. So there was a guy. He recently passed away. A very, very well-known scientist. I think, is it Stephen Hawking? So there was one of his letters or papers posted on a news website. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to get a peek into the mind of a brilliant man. I got one paragraph in, and I was like, man, this is not for me. I have limitations in my humanity. And so when I ask God for something, when I have a need of a miracle in my life, my foresight into that need is very limited, Jared. Because all I see is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I need God to work out right now. And here's the parameters. Parentheses. Right? This is how we work. God, I need you to do this. Parentheses. Comma. Period. And God says, okay. What about this? God, I need you to heal my back. All right. Well, you understand that you want me to heal your back, but it's actually the nerve on the L5 vertebrae on the 6th knuckle sticking. That's what I need to work on. The details. Can you jump to Acts chapter 3 real quick? This is a very known story that the Lord this morning brought to my attention in the prayer room. I felt to share this with us today. Acts chapter 3, this is a story of a couple apostles headed to the house of prayer, the hour of prayer, the house of God. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Everybody say his mother's womb. I don't know how old he was at this point, but he was lame since he was born. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John to go into the temple, asked an alms. He had a very limited scope of his need. I just need some alms. That's all I need. I want a Whopper. I need a Big Mac. I need something to sustain me, to get me. If I can just get a few alms, and that'll sustain me to the next person gives me something, and I'll come back at lunchtime after I drag myself to go get some food, and I'll get more. That was his limited scope of what he could see. This was his humanity, brother. This is all he could see. All he wanted was in his flesh what he needed right then. But God saw the bigger picture. God saw all the way back to his mother's womb. God saw everything, the whole picture of his life, built out like a Microsoft Project calendar. The Gantt chart and the critical timelines and all the things. That's how he saw it spread all the way out across his life. You see, he looked at a single moment. I just need an alms. I need alms right now. Just give me alms. Give me alms. Somebody give me alms. And God says, wait a minute. There's something bigger I want to look at here. Let's take a look at your life. Oh, I don't know if you feel what I feel right now. Let's look at the moment I formed you in your mother's womb. Let's take a look at that moment. Do you believe that I was in control at that moment in time? So here they come. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look at me. I don't know what had happened in his life and the shame that came along with the daily begging, but he obviously, Brother Lindsay, couldn't look at people in the eye anymore. He just, alms, alms, alms. Peter said, look at me. Sometimes you got to get your eyes off of your problem. Get your eyes off the temporary and look up. Verse 5, he says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He thought, oh, finally, someone's got some alms for me. Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted it up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And verse 8, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Here's the details. Pray with me right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe you've orchestrated this day. You've orchestrated this very moment, Father, for every miracle that's about to transpire in the room, for everything that you're about to do that's outside the scope of my human understanding. In the name of Jesus, I take authority right now over every spirit of doubt that would attempt to creep into the heart and mind of any individual, Father, with a need in their life today. I speak faith right now. I release the gift of faith into the room right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've had two people close to me, people that I know, people that I work with on a daily basis, who broke their lower leg and ankle in the last couple of years and had to go through some extensive surgeries to have those fixed, some pins put in them. And so they spent a considerable amount of time, weeks, 4+ weeks, with that leg propped up on a scooter. And they'd scoot around the office, go into the elevator and go up and down floor to floor. And then came the day they got to take the cast off and get off the scooter, and they got to start to use what had been fixed. And just after a few short weeks, the ligaments and the muscles in there had from lack of use, had just broken down to a place where they were still walking around the office like this. And I watched that. I asked them, I said, "What? Do you feel pain?" "Well, no, sometimes, but really it's just trying to rebuild." After 6 short weeks. "Mr. Chamberlain, how many weeks were you off your leg?" "A month." "I still see you gingerly walk around just after months, trying to rebuild the strength in those tendons and muscles, get everything to just wake up and start working because it just didn't have use." The scripture says that from his mother's womb, he didn't walk. And so Peter reaches out and takes him by the hand and says, "Get up and walk." We say, "Woo!" It's a guy who's never walked before. He doesn't know what it is to walk. I'm talking about the details of our lives. I'm talking about God knowing the details of our need. Something transpired in a simple moment of time by the spoken word of God and the reaching out and the touching of the hand by Peter to a lame man. That quick, Brother Chamberlain, God restored everything. Every tendon, every ligament, every joint, every muscle suddenly became restored that quickly. So that he leaped. He leaped. I'm talking about a millisecond of restoration. From the top of his head to the bottom, hip joints, hip muscles, tendons and ligaments in his hips that had never had to move or function in a moment's time were restored and made whole. I'm telling you today, that's how intricate God cares about the details and is aware of the details of your situation. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for some miracles in the house today. Now, I'm not talking about, "Oh, God, heal my leg. God, heal my back. God, heal this." I'm talking about, "Lord, you know the need." I could try to explain. I could hand some of you the mic. You could try to explain what you need from God. But I'm telling you, He sees all the way back to the beginning. He sees what began and what started the need. He was probably involved with the beginning of it. And so we're going to operate in faith today that, Father, you know the need. You are absolutely keenly aware of every detail of my need. Even the ones I haven't even talked to anybody about yet. You know what? He's even aware of what awaits you when you get off the plane on Thursday. You don't even know what awaits you yet. You think you might. He knows. He's aware of every fine detail. And so when he operates in a moment, he not only fixes what's in the past, but he prepares for what's in the future. I mean, Peter could have picked that man up, and I've been in some healing services where individuals got out of a wheelchair and walked, and people held their hand as they walked for the first time in years, and it was shaking. They'd lead. I was also in another service. A woman who was confined to a power wheelchair wheeled herself in and out of the services every night, and in a moment's time, in the power of the name of Jesus, she got up out of that wheelchair. She led a victory march around the building. talking about the details. The detail, everything in between that I just, my mind has limitations. I can't imagine that he would be concerned about all of this in this linear form factor of it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. I see it as this. He says, I'll fix everything. I want us to stand right now. If you're able and you're a member of the executive council, would you come to the front right now? And I'm going to invite any of our other elders that are in the room to please come to the front. Sister Tomiev, would you come join your husband? I said that we were going to pray for them. They need God to work a miracle. Now, we're going to pray first for them. These men are going to lay hands upon them. Brother Toms, come on up. I'm going to get some oil there. He's aware of every detail. He knows everything. Now, when we're done praying with them, I'm going to ask if you have a need, if you need a miracle in your life today, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. And these men are going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Would you stretch your hands toward the front right now? And would you believe, release faith right now? Believe that he knows every detail. He's aware of every scenario. From the beginning to the end. And he has the ability to work where I can't. To provide where I fall short. In the name of Jesus right now. We release faith in this room. We release peace in this room. Right now in the name of Jesus. You are well able, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you provide, Father. You make a way. You open doors in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you have a need, you need a miracle in your life today, whatever it is, I want you to step out from where you're at and come to the front right now. Brother Thomas, would you help us pray for these that are coming? And if you're there's so many people that are coming up here. If you're not coming for me, would you come too and lay hands on somebody and release your faith right now in the name of Jesus? Brethren, move about these. Move about these and pray for them in the name of Jesus. You are aware, Father. You're aware right now. Every detail in the name of Jesus. Have to know the details. Remember, he knows. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Put your hands on somebody's head and pray in the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you. Make yourself a conduit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh. name of Jesus. Yes, he toro robotia tayara rabaha kaya taya. He toro robotia tayara rabaha kaya. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank Him right now. I want you to begin to thank Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hitorobotia.
Chains are broken, hearts are open. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Itaya robo sheta rabahataye. Itoro robo riataye. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Itaro robo tiata rabahataye. Iloro robo tiara rabane aro robo shetaye. Toro robo tiara la bashi tarari a robo kotoye.
Haiti.